there are conversations to happen. There are things to discuss.
Well, yeah.
Some things? Are you allowed? I don't know. I don't know if there are lawsuits. Are you legally allowed to go into any details? We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll rattle through this.
You got work in the morning?
I don't have work in the morning.
I do. Okay, so that's one thing you've got going for you. I am Ross. Joining me once again is Ian, back from his vacation, and trying to catch up on all the drama of things, we are attempting to drink Nova Scotia dry. And we chose something else. That was the beginning of the drama. We said, let's do the ESBs. And then I sent you a picture of mine, and it's the first time this has ever happened. One of my ESB from Smokehouse blew up. It exploded. It just popped. There was no foam. There was no mess. It had just opened. And I thought about drinking it, but there are a lot of spiders in that cupboard, and I don't know how long it was open for, and I thought, okay. Because it's me, and I thought, if I drink and open this, and then I get food poisoning, that's on me. So maybe I'll make the safe choice here.
Do you remember several weeks ago I left a can in the freezer over and kind of forgot about it, and it had gone pop. And it was one of the Propeller. I forget what it was. Anyway, it was delicious, but of course it was frozen all to the bottom of the freezer, and it had, I don't know how these things happen, but they kind of separate. All the alcohol separates, and then water goes to the other way, and so it was all really nasty. But I still drank it because I thought I can't throw away $4.50 worth of beer just because it's frozen.
Freezer, I definitely would. Freezer, I would. But this is dank, root cellar kind of thing. So, I wasn't sure how many. It could have been hours. It could have been days. I don't check in there all that often through the week, and it was.
Did it smell of beer then? Little room down
it
there.
It did smell of beer. It smelled quite delicious. But the bonus there is I get to go back to Smokehouse, buy another can, because when I was showing it off, in fact, I got a message from the brewers at Smokehouse saying, yeah, you should get the newer can. Because I got the temporary label one. They said, oh no, but we're making this for real now. So they've got a nice posh can that it's going in. So I get to go get it in the slightly posher version. Now I worry that the one I gave you is going to explode too. Maybe there was something wrong with that set of cans. Regardless, so the second place to ESBs, because I thought ESBs would be funny with the Ian coming back from the old country.
Kind of appropriate, wouldn't it, under the circumstances? Yeah. But
or the English ale. Ooh, did you fish out your English ale as well?
Which one? Oh, the one from last... No. I'm just going to have a couple. No, I didn't. I know you... I was watching you for a little while there last week, watching you do your single-person thing. And I forget what I was having that evening, but I was having a couple in sympathy with you. A couple of...
You did mention you had an English ale, but, I mean, you were in England, so it's difficult not to.
Yeah, it really was. But no, I'm quite excited about Black IPA evening now.
I've had a couple of black IPAs over the years, he says, years of doing this, and I've been very swayed. I like a dark IPA, apparently, and I was impressed that there's a few around. Now, I will say there's a few around, but both of these are coming from a very select spot in the Annapolis Valley. Like, there's Annapolis Brewing Company, which is right there in Annapolis Royal, and then literally right next door to it is Lazy Bear. Out of, I think, was it Bear River this is coming from? West something. Smith's Cove. Let me make sure that I'm getting that right. And the weaker of the two, the Annapolis Royal Big Shot Black IPA, is 7.1%.
Ouch. I hadn't, you know what, Ross? I hadn't even looked at these things yet because I kind of dashed in, you know, and when you kind of popped that on to me to say, while I was at work, and I said, the earliest I can check in to see whether I've got those is as soon as I got back, showered and everything after 7 o'clock in the evening. And it's come as a bit of a shock to me then. So there's 7.1 and what? What's the other one?
7.2.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Yeah. strong beers then. So when you were saying, are you going to have the ESB for last week as well? And I wasn't, and I'm definitely not now.
You're definitely not now. No, I realized that when we were doing the other ones, the ESBs as opposed to the Old English Ale, that kind of made sense because the ESBs were a little bit weaker. But these ones, yeah, I don't think you don't really crack in a third one for these ones, but I'm going to crack in anyway. So here is, oh, wait, I've cracked in before Oh, I was far away from that, and I already smell a bit of IPA off this. So it says, the Big Shot, Black IPA from Annapolis Brewing Company. You had to be a big shot. When it comes to cannonballs, size matters. This is a big beer. Big Shot Black IPA is a perfect blend of base and dark malts forged with Cascade, Simcoe, and Citra hop additions, including a Citra dry hop. Oh. Pop the top on this beer and let people know you are a big shot. Make like you're on vacation. Chill for best results. But I'll tell you.
Well, I'm not on vacation now. This is the first day I haven't been for quite a while. And as soon as I read that you had to be a big shot. I mean, I don't know how your Billy Joel back catalog is, but I can't help singing that when I saw you had to be a big shot.
Is that what that's from? I had the best hits, the greatest hits of Billy Joel growing up. So I had kind of the
double album.
Yeah, the double album.
Fantastic double album.
You know, right from what was My Life all the way up to, it didn't quite get up to River of Dreams, but it definitely did a large category. It encapsulated a lot of his career, I find, that double album.
Well, 50s,
60s, 70s.
78, My Life. So that was like halfway through the classic Billy Joel stuff. I mean, Piano Man, that double album, best album, starts in 1970 or whatever it is.
In my youth, my non-knowing anything about music youth, I probably bought it for Piano Man, saying, oh, yeah, I like Billy Joel. He plays, he does that Piano Man song. I should get this. I fell in love with what's the best one off that I love? The Longest Time. That is a fantastic song.
Yeah, we all love that. A little bit of acapella.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure. That's from An Innocent Man. That album.
See, you know the individual albums, but sadly, I grew up with all the best dubs and the whatnot.
Okie dokie.
There is a lot of. Are you getting some decent head off the top of this one? I'm trying to use my Annapolis. It is smelling hoppy. There is some hop flavor in this, but. What I find is these black IPAs, they tend to smell hoppy, and then they calm down once you start drinking them. But the pour of this, look at this, the opacity is black. That is a dark. I feel like I'm pouring not quite a stout. The head on it, the foam is very large bubbles, so it feels more like a very interesting porter.
Yes, it looks really good, Ross. I got to say, by sight, visually, it's very impressive looking. It looks like a coffee ice cream on top. Very foamy, creamy coffee ice cream. That's what that looks like. It looks fabulous.
I say I've had black IPAs, plural, but I think on the show I've only ever done the one, and it was the Eclipse Black IPA from Lund's Mill, and it surprised the heck out of me. I just said, fine, let's try this. Maybe there's another one I've tried. I don't quite remember. But I think this might be the first one that we've tried together.
Do you remember the other day? What we think about our IPAs. We don't love them a great deal. But the other day, but we've had several double IPAs now. And God forsake, even a triple IPA, a couple of those.
We really enjoyed.
We find that they're actually more palatable than the single sort of smack-in-your-face IPAs. And I found myself crazily there, sort of in St. Andrews there, actually ordering, when there were other beers available, ordering a double IPA.
It went
very well. It was quite nice. I don't know what to say. I'm not an IPA fan, but doubles and triples, by the way, don't have too many of them because I only had one. That's all I needed because it was, I don't know, 7.5%, whatever it was, 8%. Mm-hmm. Probably not a little bit, maybe a little bit more than this, but it was freaking delicious. So black IPAs, I'm open to be one of as well.
I'm hoping that this will win you over. I'm hoping that we try some delicious things tonight. We've had some good things from Annapolis Brewing, and having found Lazy Bear, I'm looking forward to trying theirs because I get to talk about their establishment, what it was like heading down there. I've been to Annapolis Brewing a couple of times. It's actually in behind me here. It's a delightful tap room. You should go in there to Annapolis Royal. It's quite lovely. I do enjoy my time there. So I'm all set. Mine fit in my Annapolis Royal glass. I'm quite excited.
Well, that's a good thing. It does. It smells a little bit malty, right? To be honest, it's not smashing me with hops.
No. It's a mix. You're getting both. Yeah. The hops and the malt. All set. Already. Cheers. This is. Well.
It's.
Is it a little bit smoky?
Yeah, it's reminiscent of a German Altbier to me, actually. There's a bloody fruit fly that's buzzing around my face. It's a little bit like an Alt to me, quite malty. Actually, creamier than an Altbier. That's really very surprising. I like this.
I love black IPAs. Because it smells like a standard kind of here you go. It's a bit of a, you know, it's an IPA. You get all the hop and the smell, and then that is a smoky, malty, smooth, dark beer.
Rich.
And the hop is in there, but it's that lovely mélange, as we talk about, where as long as the mix is happening, I feel a tiny bit of an acidity at the top of my throat, I feel. But
I'm not getting any sort of acidity at all.
If that's the smokiness.
That's so smooth. And it's not hoppy for me. It's it's far maltier than a richer and creamier than an IPA is to me.
But you can taste the hop coming through, making the attempt. It's
they're all maybe hops. Let's be honest.
They're
not aggressive in the slightest. This is really subtle.
Perfect blend of base and dark malts with Cascade, Simcoe, and Citra hop additions, including a Citra dry hop. So it's malt and then malt, and then hopped and hopped and hopped, and then dry hopped. And you're sort of, whew, okay, slow down in the ingredients, but man, this has gone. And here's the sad part. Wherever I find the good stuff, this happened to me last week with the Saltbox one, but as soon as I find this is delicious, this is wonderful. Do you think it's on the Annapolis Brewing Company's menu anymore? No.
Have they taken it off?
We only got this maybe 2 months ago. And yeah, it's toast.
Oh, wow.
We got this on the fated trip to get the Box Cutter IPA. I picked up this one because I saw. Now, whenever I see black IPA, I say, bring me that right now. I will try your black IPA because I know I've liked one and I'm curious about them. And this is it.
Well, this would actually be, I would think it's because of its sort of dark, heavier. It's heavier and it's richer and it's actually more of a traditional colder weather drink, I would think, than your pale ales and you know, sort of males and things. So it's surprising me. You say it's already disappeared from whence it came off the shelf.
Maybe it was part of their previous winter. Maybe it was a winter beer that just still happened to be there in, when were we there, March or April.
Right. Yeah,
that's
possibly
possible. The baby was quite new when we drove out there. But
this is delicious.
You are right that this is a kind of a miserable cold night. Drink this in a snowstorm and kind of, you know, spit back at the snowstorm with just as much power and fortitude. But I am not sensing or tasting a 7.1. Like, though it is 7.1%, you don't drink and go, okay, I don't feel like I could accidentally light my breath on fire after drinking this.
Some
beers you feel like you cough and it's like coughing up a shot of whiskey.
But I will say, though, I'm actually feeling it now, mate. Now I've got sort of closing on half of it down. Maybe it's because I just had three slices of pizza. I don't know. But it's a little bit heavy. Do you feel that it's sitting on my stomach a little bit? And I'm getting a little full up already. Like I say, it might be pizza, but I think it's the beer. And that's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong.
It's not,
I don't want to drink pints and pints of this stuff.
No, you want. I want to drink one of these and be feeling good, and even just sitting around. And this is, yeah, I feel like a nice, I don't know why the concept of social drinking beer after beer at 3.5 or 4%. Like, let's hang out tonight and have 17 light beers. Like, how about if we hang out tonight and have one 8% triple IPA together and just have a great time? You know, so it's
the difference between like to go somewhere in the middle of that, somewhere between the two, because if I have to nurse, if I'm going out and for 3 hours, I don't want to have to sit there and nurse one 8% beer all night with my mate, because I'll be frustrated, because I'll be like, this is delicious, taste it.
I feel like I'm drinking this faster than I would normally, because, you know, and trying to get through it, because normally I would drink this, take a few swigs and go, okay, this needs to, this needs to sit and settle for a few minutes, and then we'll get to it.
Maybe it's not a bad thing, though, because obviously we set up a little bit late and it's been a long day already. So if we are moving through this rather faster than we normally do, that's might not be such a bad thing after all. But I'm yamming this. I'm yam singing it, as they would say up in Glasgow. I really like this, Ross. It's delicious.
Sorry, I need to go back for a second. You're yam singing it?
Yam sing.
I have a tea towel upstairs on my stove that my family from Scotland gave me, and it is a list of Scottish kind of wordisms and whatnot. They've got, what's the one? Bam pot. And
bam pot. Yeah, bam pot.
Yeah, big brutish bam pot. Yeah. And it's got a number of words and things like that, but I don't think yam sing is on there. I shall have to go and check.
It might be the northeast of England. It might even be Geordieland. I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. I'm from the south of England, and I've said yam sing before, so I've got it from somewhere in England. I was just assuming from further north. But when you yam sing something, it just means you just throw it down your neck. Just, come on, yam it. Yam it.
But yam it down your singing.
Probably is Geordie, if that's the case, because it'll be yam. Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
I've always enjoyed get your laughing gear around that. I like it when you invite Rebecca to have a glass of something. We don't have any. I've often felt a little bit left out. I mean, there are some Nova Scotian-isms, and honestly, here's the hypocritical part of me, is I have not embraced the Nova Scotian vernacular because I don't like sounding rural. And a lot of it is based on kind of rural this and rural that. But like, I feel like the Newfoundland accent has such a beautiful lilt to it. It's like an Irish, but a little bit different. But they've got their own common glossary and grammar and vernacular and things like that. And there is a bit of one. It's not quite as good in Nova Scotia, but there is one. And both, I don't know it and I don't use it. So I just, I speak like... an Applebee's menu. It's all very this and that, and there is, you know, would you like greens for your side, or will you be having the Caesar salad? It's all very plain. I am very plain, boring English. You would probably tell me that I have an accent, and that you are plain, boring English. But you have
and you're very erudite, and you have quite an extensive vocabulary as well. No, it's lovely talking with you, Russ. More often than not, when we've had a couple of beers, we elucidate more impressively.
It's true. Obviously, we're always more impressive after we've had several beers. I fully agree to that.
But this is sweet, isn't it?
There's a bit of a sweetness to it, but it's not. Yeah. The sweetness isn't its entire personality. We've talked before about sometimes when something has so many flavors, it tastes like nothing. This is such a wonderful mixture, this perfect blend of everything. I think it's just delectable. I could keep drinking this.
Yeah.
Even if it's a 7-1, I would say, yeah, I'll have another. I will have another.
I would. I would certainly have another. And I can just see it's lovely. It's got the legs. It's kept it down the glass too. It's clinging to the glass. It's got a nice creamy... not oiliness, but it's almost like some of those Scotch ale beers. They're quite strong, but they've got a little bit of something else going on in them. Bless him when Jeff put that oak barrel aged whiskey aged whatever that's called whiskey barrel aged Russian Imperial Stout. You had it, and you can it's got that kind of sweetness to it, smoky, roasty kind of thing going on. This has got a little bit of that going on around it. I really like this. This is fabulous.
You also mentioned a richness earlier, and when I'm getting to the bottom, I'm trying to save a fingy at the bottom there. You can see. It's difficult. It's difficult to save. I want to finish that and crack open a second one. But luckily, we do have a second to go. So I don't remember what I gave the other one. But for a black IPA, I think that's exactly what I was looking for. I think that's it. There's maybe a tang of something that puts me off a little bit. Maybe I'd like it personally to be a little bit sweeter. But I have to say, that's hitting into nines for me. This is a nines kind of night.
It's fabulous. I don't know how to compare black IPAs with anything. I'm just comparing that with other beers. That, to me, is like a Christmas ale. It's like a Christmas porter. It's not stouty. I know I said it's quite a little bit heavy, a little bit, and stouts can do that. But this is not in a bad way. I'm not saying it's heavy in a bad way. It's just, it's sweet. It's malty. It's thoroughly delicious. It's a little bit hoppy, but I love it. That's well into the nines for me as well. Gosh, IPAs, man. We're all over them these days. We love IPAs, Ross and me.
But these sneaky little black IPAs, no one told me this was a category, and I love being surprised by these ones. So one of these days, I think we might come across a black IPA that's a little bit gross. They've got to exist. They can't all be perfect. That'd be too weird. But I feel like we've had the occasional porter, which has tasted more on the hoppy side of things, but they were not this smooth. We've had a hoppy porter, but it hasn't had this rich thickness to it. It felt a little, I don't want to say flat, but just watery, I guess. Yep. There was just this watery, hoppy porter.
Yeah, porters can be, because, I mean, they're so close. You know, you think that some stouts taste more portery in their consistency, and vice versa is true as well. This tastes more like a porter. It has the consistency more of a porter. It's not as thick as some of the thicker stouts, but it's every bit as rich, seemingly, as a stout and thick. And I've never needed a water as much as I do after a beer now, though, before I have the other one, because
it's sticking.
Yeah, all over the inside of my mouth. It's coated all over my mouth, my throat. So I need to swill this water around and maybe trying to get wash some of it away think about trying the Infinity.
I'm going to snag three. I will officially give it a 9.3 just arbitrarily. I don't know. I mean, it could be a 9.6. It could be a 9.5. Could be a 9.7. But it's as close to a 9.5 as near as makes no difference, I think. Just because I can't think of anything wrong with it.
No, it's fabulous. And well done. And that was
categorically.
Even though you're brewing.
And it's and luckily it's not that far. And I think I don't think it's in the NSLC. I think you might need to travel all the way to Annapolis Brewing. So if you are heading to Annapolis Brewing, stop by, drop me a line, come in, hang out my deck, and we'll talk about beer. Talking about beer, or speaking of a number of different things, we need to get into how was the old country? How was Scotland and the England? How were the beers? How's your brother? Everyone's fine over there. Is that the short...
Absolutely. It was my old man's 80th birthday, bless him, on the 22nd of July. And that's really what I was going over for this time, because it was a big family reunion. I say big. I've got a very, very small, close-knit family over there. But yeah, that's what, ostensibly what I was going for this time. And I hung out with my brother for the first week up in Edinburgh. And then he drove us down to Lincolnshire, and I hung out with my dad. And we went to the races. I've never been to a race meet in my life. Horse racing, would you believe? And it's like a huge social event in Lincolnshire. It's like a big summery event of the year in Lincolnshire. And it was Ladies' Day. So my stepmom there had organised all this, got it all sorted out. She didn't organise the horse race, don't get me wrong, but organised this sort of family event for him. And she'd booked our own restaurant thing at the races, and it was, like I say, Ladies' Day. They were all there in their finery. It's a huge social event.
Were you wearing tails, or?
I was wearing a sort of, no, I was smart casual. I did go in a shirt and blazer and trousers and a bowler hat, of course, because I had to wear my bowler hat.
Not the shirt you're wearing, though.
Oh, hmm?
Not the shirt you're wearing currently.
No, it was.
That wouldn't fly.
Not at all. But the problem was, Ross, it pissed down. I mean, the weather, because it is such a
in
huge
England?
Social.
No.
Now, the irony is, when I went away last year down there as well, and July was marvelous. It was baking hot and sunny every day. This time, of course, the opposite was true. June was flaming hot in the UK, and July came along and went, nah. Pretty much, if you remember, what happened here in Nova Scotia, where June was very nice and sunny, and then July came along and basically emptied the skies all over every day. Well, the UK is happening very similar this summer. We didn't have, fortunately, I mean, people were saying, oh, it's raining all the time. And while I was over there, of course, this thing happened in Nova Scotia that I missed. And I'm like, to everyone else, I'm like, you think it's bad here, guys? Take a look at this. And I'm showing them roads just disappearing without trace in Nova Scotia, and winds are disappearing under the monsoon. And I mean, we actually drove back only yesterday, Rebecca and I, from this weird vacation that I managed to get back one from eventually. Mm. And we, even when we got the other side of Windsor, we were on the Rawdon Road. And part of that is still out of bounds. They said, no, you're going to have to take a detour because this road's not here anymore.
Yep,
so it's a week on, still happening.
Still
looking a bit. Yeah. It's
a week and a half.
I can't believe it. When people, I was at work today, and they were saying, you missed an event, mate. You missed something. It looks horrendous what happened.
Well,
so.
Not in the valley, honestly. We could see all the lightning. I could see all the lightning. Couldn't even hear the thunder anymore. And then I was checking. I was like, well, I'm seeing a lot of lightning on the, what's going on? And Windsor was, so when you got closer towards the city, like this is why the city got dunked and Windsor got dunked on it. A lot of places that way.
320 millimeters, a foot of water in 24 hours. That's just crazy. That's like monsoon in India level.
And it this was the thing. It wasn't that the rain fell. It's that the rain fell and then had to go somewhere. Yeah. So gravity was all, well, I'm rain, I'm headed towards the sea. And it all went. So the thing was, if rain falls on, you know, a field that's 2 acres, and then, but the field is on a slope, then all, you know, that foot of rain across that entire 2 acres has now got to churn down this one ditch. And that's what happened. So all the sides, the roadsides and ditches and what, when you drive across some roads, you feel like you're on a flying road because you look across and you look to the side of the road. And as soon as you leave the pavement, it's about now a 4 foot drop down into what it dug out. So it was pretty bad. I did have a quick peek because Hilltop Hops is pretty much at ground zero, where number of things happened. And they, last week's podcast, I was reading their Facebook updates where they said, hey, we're open, free beer for any firefighter or anyone working with emergency services. Come out. We're still open, but we've canceled the music. So they canceled the music. They're staying open. And then later in the day, they said, we are closing because we have decided that it is more important that our parking lot get used by emergency crews. And I thought, outstanding. That is,
that's
what you want to read. Yeah, we're closing because it's so dangerous out here that the emergency crews need our space.
Well, like a month before that, people were losing their homes because they were being just burnt up and tossed away by nature. And then a month later, it's just it's heading out to sea. What a crazy time we're having. And of course, the old people in the know are saying these freak weather patterns are going to just get more prominent. They're going to get worse.
We'll see what's next.
Headed, unfortunately.
Next year, 2024 Sharknado in Yarmouth. I think that's what's going to hit land. Ooh, the great white shark was caught off the coast of somewhere today as well. If you needed more ridiculous nonsense from Nova Scotia, but we knew they were here.
Had wings. That's where we're going. these days.
So I did get back,
but it was quite an interesting way of getting back, and a prolonged effort. Maybe I'll come to that another day, but I did get back, and bless her, Rebecca drove 9 hours to pick me up.
Oh, I was hoping we would get the story as we have our next fare, which is this jet black label on a beautiful dark bottle. I really love this one. So Lazy Bear Brewing, I found by accident, because they're not listed in the Craft Beer Association of Nova Scotia. So I'm not sure if they're part of the association, but I didn't care. And they are just next door, just across the water from the Annapolis Royal and the Annapolis Brewing Company. And so we wandered in, and it's this cute, quaint little, in fact, it's so cute and quaint, I couldn't find an indoor photo. I found an outdoor photo. So here we go. It's mostly just picnic benches and whatnot.
Looking forward to this.
Wait, what did it? Oh, did it not like that at all? Hang on. It didn't work,
but when it don't, it's not so good.
It's delightful when
and
it works.
While you're doing that, I'm so tempted to swig the last bit, a little bit, to my big shot into while I'm waiting for it. But I've made that mistake before and then had to spit it back in the glass, didn't I? I won't make that mistake.
Couldn't add, it's the wrong image size, so stupid. Yeah, this ridiculous software can go screw itself. But, so in this beautiful bottle from Lazy Bear Brewing out of the Smith's Cove, Nova Scotia, did find, it is on their website. It says, where would we be without Bob, a kind soul that offered to volunteer with us our first summer? Words can't describe how grateful we are. This one's for you, Bob. Thanks to the family for the use of their wonderful images. Infinity is a black IPA. It's brewed with roasted grains and a generous helping of citrusy hops.
Hops.
Pictures. Do you see any pictures on this? I see zero. Apparently.
It's dark.
Rough. It's super dark. I can't see anything. On the website, it says, brewed in memory of Bob, whose retirement gig turned into a full-time job and helped us through our early years. Infinity is brewed with dark roasted grains and generous portions of Chinook hops. So,
I can see a picture, and it's a bear rolling
barrel.
A barrel.
That's the Lazy Bear logo. And I should have bought a glass while I was there, but I'm sure I'll go back. I will bottle open this bottle.
Good.
And then let me get a schneef. Ooh, there's some spice going on there. That almost smells peppery upon the open.
Ooh. It's another Christmas ale.
it's almost there, but it's probably going to be just as dark. So I went in, and I'm there in the Lazy Bear establishment, and Brittany and I were there, and we took the baby, and it said dog friendly, so we brought our dog, and they said, oh, your dog can't come in here. So apparently what they meant was the patio is dog friendly, the outdoor area, but the indoor area is not. It was raining slightly, so we didn't want to sit outside. But then we went inside, the area that you sat on the inside of this tap room, and they have a restaurant because they have, so there's a van / camper, an outdoor food truck that does pizzas. They do wood-fired pizzas outdoors, and then you can eat them inside. The problem was, while we were inside, this place was smaller than the room you are currently in, and there was a gentleman doing the whole live music thing with his amplifier and microphone, and it was turned all the way up.
11.
And he wasn't even doing, like, if you want to finger pluck a little James Taylor when it's cranked up in a small room, okay, I need to hear your finger plucking. But he was, yeah! And it was just, I hate to put my old man hat on, but it was just too friggin' loud.
It was inappropriately loud. That's what you're saying for a place like that, yeah.
But But there were like six people sitting around in this room going, this is wonderful. I love having the experience of the live music and the stuff. And they were, some of them looked older than me. So maybe they just had three more black IPAs than I've had. But I couldn't stay there. We just could not stay there. So we just grabbed a couple things off the shelves and then we just booked it out of there. I'd love to go back again, but I can't go to places sometimes. If I can sit at the back of the room with amplified music in a small space, but when the entire room is up front, I just can't do it.
No,
I just can't do it.
It can be a bit aggressive. Can you imagine playing open mic? I know I brought my amplifier along once or twice to Tan Coffee.
That's because you were worried about how loud you would be.
Absolutely, because I'm so damn quiet. But that also sometimes when you're, it usually happens when I'm playing, I've noticed this. I say usually, I've only played there like three or four times. But anyway, it seems to be that every time I think, oh, I like this song, I start playing it. Anyway, that's the end of that song. And the whole thing was while they were making a cappuccino for 3.5 minutes. So I've had to think, I thought, oh, then maybe if I bring along an amplifier, someone might be able to hear me. But it's a coffee house, and you don't want to have an amplifier in a coffee house when there's only five or six people there, and most of them are on their laptops sitting there quietly. But so I hear what you're saying. You've got to know your room. You shouldn't be bringing along an amplifier and playing like Aerosmith for while you're doing your set. It's such a quiet, intimate venue. I know. It happens, though, mate.
I can't even remember the song. Her. It was a very obnoxious song to be played loudly to a small room of people. But, yeah, I find Tan Coffee is sort of the unofficial one. It trains you, the open mic there, it trains you to be okay with someone suddenly committing a violent murder just off stage, okay. And you have to continue playing through. So just that like the big grindy, the foamy, frothy machine. And I have played songs where I start quiet and then I get loud and then I get quiet again. And you just, oh, there's a loud noise. I will play louder over top of it and then whoom, come down the other side. It was delightful. There's one guy that comes out all the time and he usually plays very, very quietly, but so there was just this murmur, this hum. There's a lot of non-musicians all sitting about and doing things. Just a lot of stuff just happened just there. Whoa, did the lightning happen inside of your house? There was
lightning.
Lightning has just struck my brain. Well, that must hurt. It's a good Hook reference for you. Anyway, so he with the hum of the crowd, he had to play louder. And I've never heard him try to play loud. So I'm sitting about midway. I'm one or two tables away. And I just sat there just drinking it in, saying, I've never heard him try to rise to a volume above this quiet little playing in the corner. So just listening to him get to that, he was up to about a 7 or an 8 on the dial. And I said, oh, I'm digging this. Because I loved hearing his voice have a bit more power. And it's... I feel like it's an ideal way to learn how to not duet, but not mimic, but how to join your guitar's sound with your voice's sound, and how to learn that dance of volume of now I will sing louder and back off on the guitar a little bit. Now it's time to really lay into the guitar and kind of soften up the voice. And now's the time to do, big 100% on both.
Yep. Flavor. And, just give it a bit of flavor. That's what it is. Just rather than just belting more, it out all the time.
More welly. No, it's just more welly.
Yeah.
Speaking of Scottish anachronism or
welly.
Scottish.
Give it a welly.
This smells... You know what the weirdest thing I'm getting off of this one now is? Having poured the Infinity Black IPA, celery. I am smelling a funny, spicy, like a peppery celery scent is coming off of this.
Really?
My head's gone. It's got legs, but my head's gone.
Okay, I'm stretching here. I'm stretching to try and smell what you're suggesting. And often it's the old subconscious kicks in, and then if someone suggests something, I'm like, oh, I can smell that.
Yeah,
I'm
you can say anything. Tomato plants. There. It smells like tomato plants and athlete's foot.
Athlete's foot, I am.
I don't even know what that smells like.
It's actually even I got to say it, the head is even creamier than the last one. This one looks looks sensational as well. They both look fab, don't they?
You can't find even an ounce of daylight in this. This is fathoms below. It is just jet black. I love this. This is so fun. You all set?
I'm not getting this in my glass. Is this bigger? Is this a 500 mil or is this bigger?
Oh, good point. I think it's just a 5. These glasses. You wouldn't hit a guy with glasses, would you? It says nothing. It says absolutely nothing of how many milliliters are in here. It fit in my pint glass, but I chose a big pint glass. This is my big pint from Wayfarer's Ale Society.
Didn't fit anywhere near into that, but there again, I haven't topped it off. But I'm not going to get the rest in. But I think this is slightly less. I think this might be one of those pesky 473s that don't give you a full... Yeah, so you can't get the head on it.
This is one of my 20-ounce glasses that I bought. Every time they say they have a 20-ounce option, I'm like, put it in the bag.
Yeah.
I will not settle for your 14-ounce nonsense.
You ready for this?
If 16's as big as you got, I'll take it. Yep, I'm all set.
I didn't mark the last beer, did I?
Yeah, you did.
Did I? I know it was well into the nines as well.
Into the nines.
Okay. It's just great. And if this comes half, if this is even close to it, then I'm in for a treat.
I love that I've got you sold on the black IPA curiosity now.
Cheers.
My interesting celery spice remains. Are you getting any of that now?
I'm getting some spice. The celery spice. No, I'm not. Is that celery spice? Is that what they use in? Is there a bit of that in Caesar? Because I'm really rubbish at those kind of things. Do they use like a celery spice in that?
I don't think so. I'm also getting like. Do you know when you rub the leaf of a tomato plant, like a tomato out on the vine?
Yes, tomato. Yes, I'm getting that tomato plant, but not celery.
Not tomato itself, but the tomato plant. Oh, this is the vines. Yeah, the vines of a tomato.
The smell of the vines, because I've grown enough tomatoes over the time and had them in the yard. No, it does taste and smell, not smell, but taste a little bit of that. Not that I'm eating the flowers or the leaves from it. No, I totally get
the roasted grains. I'm getting a smoky, that same smoky roast is, and it all mixes. It all mixes and melanges. It doesn't have a real pop you in the face kind of flavor. What is he saying? Brew with roasted grains and a generous helping of citrusy hops. I'm not sure I'm getting.
I don't get that. I'm not getting. These are both IPAs, but the hops are just so indistinct that this. It's like they're telling us there's hops in there, and there's going to be hops in there. But to me, the hops is so forward on this, and it goes all the way through. I'm getting it right at the end as well.
Hops are going into a dark alley with the roasted grains and losing a street gang dance war.
Yeah. It is. It's very malty, very grainy, and dark. It's a cup of coffee. It's like a dark. It's a dark roast coffee.
I'm loving it. I am very much loving this. It's not quite as good as the Annapolis one. But it's really good.
This, Ross, it tastes like a Scotch ale. Is a black IPA akin to us, like heading towards that virus of a?
Am I just drinking a glass of weak whiskey that someone has crushed some cereal in?
Gosh, it's so good.
It's so sweet. Oh, I'm so happy that I have finally been able to introduce you to the one time I tried a black IPA that I can remember. That tells a story. So, okay, story. Here's the story. The story is I was trying to find out if you what what you might be interested in drinking. So I sent a message to one Rebecca of Fair of Ian's Heart when was that? I think it was Saturday. And I said, is Ian back in town? Oh, no, because I was inviting people around. I was saying, are you guys, is Ian back in town? Is he back and available? And are you guys available to come around and just sort of sit on the deck? It's a lovely night. And she says, well, And I believe her exact words were, he's not quite allowed back into the country, and I have to drive to Maine to get him.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay. Were you smuggled in one of those back seats that open up and you have to hide in under that, like a London taxi?
I'm going to make it a very brief resume of what happened, because it's really a long story, and it's so boring and it's so tedious and so damn.
I'm sure that we can find ways of making it exciting and interesting at this point.
It was actually a little bit frightening at the end of the day, and I'm sort of glad it all played out positively in the end, although a little expensively. No, what happened was, I booked my flights to the UK because I was aware that my dad was going to be 80 in July. That kind of thing doesn't sort of fly by me.
Birthdays aren't fluid.
And everyone was going to be there. My sister, my brother, my mom, my stepmom, my whatever, various members of the family. And of course, I said, even though I was there last year, I said, look, of course I will be there. I'm not going to miss my dad's big 80th shindig, especially if it's Ladies' Day in Lincolnshire. I'm going to go there. So I booked my flight.
I've got a bowler hat, damn it.
Right. Back in April. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but even though I've lived here for 15 years in Canada, I don't have a citizenship yet. This is really fast-paced my application. I'm going to get one. But so as a result, I have permanent residency status, and I have done for 15 years, but which means that every 5 years or so, you have to update your card.
We've discussed this.
So this is the third time I've had to do it because it's 15 years. But when I put all the paperwork in March, you would know this because I came around to try and print it off at one point and
yes,
it wouldn't work.
And you had problems.
It was crazy. That was March when I started doing all this. And at the time, it was only 64 days that they said the average turnaround to get these things back once you put your application in. So anyway, by the time I got it all off in time, I still had 108 days. I'm giving you the exact details here because this is what I've actually sent to the immigration center at times, so, and say, listen, I sent my application off 108 days ago. Where is it? I'm still waiting for it now. So by the time it gets to around about 2 or 3 weeks before I'm due to fly, I still don't have my application, my card back. And my card expired in May. So what I'm getting at here is, if I don't get my card back in time by the time I fly, I'm going to have some problem. I may have some problems getting back to the country, even though I've got half a dozen pieces of identification which could prove to everybody concerned that I own a house in Canada, I've been living here for 15 years, I've got a driver's license, health card, all these kind of things.
So if you can prove permanent residency,
yep,
okay,
there shouldn't be a problem.
Had sent that away in order to renew your permanent residency.
Yep. So that's where we were. So, but I was told by border control before I went away, in fact, as well as the immigration center, that if they won't let you on the plane, well, sorry, I beg your pardon, they
you
might
give them the old Canadian handshake. You do the moose antlers on top, and you rub some maple syrup in your hand, and then you say hockey puck at the top of your voice, and they'll let you in the country.
Start saying that Wayne Gretzky's king, that kind of stuff, and they're going to believe
it.
That... Yeah.
Terry Fox is my spirit animal type stuff.
Yeah, he is. He's everybody's. And so I had a wonderful 2 weeks, but hanging over this whole 2 weeks was, I wonder if I'm going to get back into Canada again. Because I start work on Monday. And as it happens, of course, I go to Edinburgh Airport, got all my package and everything. I'm ready there, and I present my passport and my permanent residency at the desk where I'm checking in. They go, this is our date, Mr. Granger. And I'm like, yeah, I know that. And I gave them all this stuff and I gave them all the documentation. I said, can I please fly? Because obviously I am. And they went, nah, I'm sorry, no. And they called someone else and went, yeah, he's got a permit. He's already got the application in, but there was a strike. That's what it, there was a strike with the immigration center in March and April. I didn't get my card back in time. This has really happened, by the way. And of course they said, no, I'm sorry, you can't fly. And I'm like, okay, fine. So they said, have a nice day. And I immediately went upstairs and cried a little bit and then went back to my brother's place in Edinburgh and said, here I am again. Hi, how you doing? And I had to speak to the Canadian consulate in Edinburgh. I explained my situation. It was quite scary. And she said, I can't really help you, Mr. Granger. And I'm thinking, am I stuck in the UK now? Am I now? Is this easy? Am I abandoned? Oh. I'm not able to get in. But what I was informed of before I left was, by the border control, was if they won't let you on the plane by any chance, he said he'd heard of people that had then bought flights to America and then driven in to Canada. And unfortunately, then I had to go and buy a ticket, and I stopped over in Dublin overnight, and then for 14 hours on one night, and sat there on this bench outside a restaurant for 14 hours. And the next day, I bought a plane to Boston, and I got into Boston, and I took the bus from Boston to Bangor, which was quite interesting. So I took the loser cruiser, as my brother calls it, and everyone does, all the way. By the way, if you ever want to travel any distance, it's only 4 hours from Boston to Bangor. If you want to mm-hmm. travel any distance in the US, forget about what everyone says about the don't go on the bus. The bus was the best part of the journey, was by far the best part of the journey. Mm. All the way, 4.5 hours, reclining seats, air conditioning, TV screen if you want it, plug in your phone, Wi-Fi throughout the whole. I've got 3 seats to myself because there's only half a dozen people on the bus. Mm-hmm. And the best part of it, Ross, where each time we set off from another destination, from a connecting destination, Boston, Portland, Augusta, and finally Bangor itself, every time we set off after like an hour's journey, we'd get to another place. He kept reminding us, and by the way, may I remind you that Concorde, this bus service, runs a no cell phone policy. You're not allowed to talk on a cell phone on the bus. It was the most peaceful 4.5 hours. It was great. I thought, this is marvelous.
I'm admiring the fact that a British man took a bus in the United States, and it was called the Concorde. I think I'm loving that part of it the
most.
That's
right. I did not take a Greyhound, and you know what? Right, coming back to Billy Joel at the
I was on the Concorde. Thank you very much.
Not in a New York state of mind. I was going from Boston to Bangor in the on a Concorde bus. That's the service that runs the same way as a Greyhound does. And I got to tell you, I mean, there she was, bless her. She's standing there in the rain. Rebecca's just driven 8 or 9 hours to get all the way from the valley, round down through, you know, through New Brunswick, all the way down to Bangor to pick me up. And then we immediately then turn around and start heading back. It was quite something.
In the last 10 years, they've invented, she needed a passport just to go across it, even like St. Stephen or any of the New Brunswick into Maine, you need a passport. Because you didn't need that before. We used to just drive over there. What are you doing today? Oh, we're Canadians. Yeah. We're coming across to shop for stuff, whatever.
Well, that's what you still have to do that. You still have to provide your passport, and you need to, and you declare how much sort of goods you're bringing back, etc. But the worst part,
we didn't need it before. We didn't need it 10 years ago. We did not need a passport to enter into the United States. They added that.
The USA is clearly one of the top places in the world security-wise, which is why my mum was saying, oh, I forgot to tell you, if you are going back from the States, even though you've already booked this flight, you're going to need an ESTA, and an electronic sort of travel authorization to fly over with them, and you're also going to need to let them know where you're staying. And I'm like, well, I don't have an address. And they say, you're going to need one. So there I was. I'm thinking, I've got to book a hotel then now. And before I went through the American pre-clearance, and it was terrifying because I thought what I ended up getting, Ross, was possibly the worst hotel experience. No, not possibly. Definitely the worst hotel experience of Rebecca and my life individually. We haven't really talked much about it because we're trying to kind of forget about it as much as possible. But the police were called that night, and I did fear for my life.
We'll get to that at another night then, because we'll compare really bad hotel stories at some point. Because I was in charge of the booking for our family trip to Joe's national team or national time trials in Montreal this past summer, and that was a mistake. But so, so landing, yeah, so in Traveling Passport Wars, I'm so glad that Rebecca had, well, I'm partially glad that Rebecca had a valid passport, because I'm, in my beautiful little romanticized brain, I saw Rebecca saying, but I don't have a valid passport at the moment, and then them calling, and then I know who might have a valid passport, our good friend Ross might, and you're damn right. One, I happen to have one. Why do I happen to have one? Where did I go? Right, I went to go visit my friend down south. And this was going to the United States, where I learned that the and this is where we get into talking about just people in security. This is what happened to you in Scotland, where someone said, "Oh, well, you don't have the proper security," despite the fact that you are obviously not smuggling opium or whatever other thing that could be afraid of you, just put you on the friggin' plane. And this is so many of my a couple of my friends have these stories where a friend of mine was trying to join his family going down south, and some stupid little pencil pushing detail stopped that from happening. So I'm in Halifax trying to go visit my friend down south. And they say, right, sir, well, we need, and maybe this is what you're talking about, this acronym, the ECVLQMJ, whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they said, we need to know the exact address of where you're staying down south. And I went, I don't know. My friend is picking me up from the airport and I'm staying with him. I love the flustered nature of someone when you won't fill out their form to their satisfaction. And so they freak out and all the gears are turning. I said, I don't know the address. I said, well, I said, well, okay. So luckily I got someone who was both, I will tick all these boxes, but also it's someone else's problem now. He said, well, they're definitely going to need it when you transfer in Toronto. And I said, fine. I'm there. I'm trying to catch a plane at 5 o'clock in the morning or some ridiculous time. I said, I will text my friend. He might be awake in 4 hours from now, but eventually I will get this information. So I'm texting, hey, you know, whenever you get up, just let me know what your address is. I'm flying out. And there, so I get to Toronto. Guess how many people asked me for the address of where I was staying?
I'm going to guess zero.
It was a big fat zero. So it's things like that. That if one person in the chain of all the people that you talk to think it's important, you're screwed.
Yeah.
But if everyone collectively, bureaucratically agrees, it's not really that important. You don't seem like an international drug smuggler / jewel thief.
You know
what?
Maybe
we'll just let you through.
The madness of this particular black hole and bureaucratic red tape bullshit nonsense in my circumstance was this, Russ. You can not fly into Canada with your card expired. You cannot catch the ferry into Canada or cross by sea. But you can drive a car and walk into Canada from the United States. You can do that. You can totally do that. That's perfectly fine. They'll let you do that. But you can't fly in or take a boat. So what's the bloody difference? The fact is, you're still entering a country with the same piece of documentation saying that your card has expired, but they won't let you fly in, even though you've just left the country 2 weeks beforehand as a permanent resident and paid $1,300 for your flight, which you now have to throw away and pay another $2,000 for a short-notice flight. It's just nonsense. That's the way it is.
When we were in the heyday of COVID, I remember this being a big thing where they were always so proud of how many people they were turning away at the New Brunswick border into Nova Scotia, being our one main provincial border. Not talking about ferries and whatnot. No one ever talked about that. But this was how they were curving this. Oh, I mean, we're making sure that people are answering all these questions coming in from New Brunswick. And I said, we have an international airport. Is anything happening there when people land? And there was nothing, no reports of what was happening at the airport. Like people coming from Mumbai, from, you know, Shanghai. It was like, it didn't matter. Everyone's coming, oh yeah, it's fine. But that New Brunswick border where the real problems are, oh boy, are we stopping people there.
Is this malty or is it just me? This is so grainy and malty and even more so than the other one. But I'm so looking forward to finishing the other one because then I can compare it with this because I've almost forgotten how rich and dark and sweet the other one was because this is so good as well. Right at the beginning of this, you said, when you started this one, you said, it's not quite as good as the other one, but I'm enjoying this immensely, and I really want to compare it again with the dregs of the other one. Because this
I'm enjoying it immensely as well, but I still don't think it's quite there. I think this is nearly 9, if not 9. I will give this a 9.0, favorably.
Okay. It's,
the smokiness and everything is there. For the Lazy Bear, the Lazy Bear is a 9.0. But I think the Annapolis one is 9 point more, you know, 9.3, 9.4, whatever, 9.5 ish, something like that.
You can't get much
better. I have to stick by that.
Yeah. I've never had any of my Lazy Bear brewing, and you threw me three or four wonderful looking cans and then this one bottle. All the others are those little 355 mil things.
Yeah.
And if they're as good as this, are these Lazy Bear, are they particularly new on the scene, Ross? Because I hadn't heard of them.
What a delightful question. Let's quickly look up what their story is about us. We are these people. Do you know what? Here is my favorite part. Their head brewer is, and I think it's one of the only ones in the province, their head brewer is a woman. It does say since 2016.
Oh, they've been around
a small family owned and operated microbrewery. We started with only one beer. And that it would was, be Aaron is the owner in the, she can be found in the garden, blah, 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 blah. But because I asked, hey, can I talk to the brewer? We do a podcast thing. And they said, oh, yeah, she's out. She's serving the pizzas in the pizza barn thing. So I took their information. I haven't reached out to them just yet because I wasn't sure if not being part of the CBANS, if there's any kind of weird, I don't know. I sort of hashtag them a little bit, but I'm once we branch out into, because the quick listing is who is listed in the Craft Brewers Association of Nova Scotia. And then, holy cow, if you're going to tell me that there's another 70 beyond that, then there's 140 breweries to visit. So it's going to be a long project to drink Nova Scotia dry.
Are you getting nuts?
I'm still getting mostly a celery spice.
Oh, that's crazy. I'm not getting any celery spice, but right at the beginning of the pipe, when you mentioned that weird tomato-y plant thing, I was smelling it and I was actually tasting it. I'm getting a little nuttiness from it. It's really tasty, Ross, but
it's quite, just a little spicier than the other. And now I've still got my Annapolis Royal one still in the glass, and I just gave a sniff of that. And either it hasn't aged, the smell has not aged well. Ooh.
May I say though that after two pints of 7.1 and 7.2, definitely feeling this.
I think I am too. And yeah. I'm glad we waited until three quarters of the way through to discuss all the awfulnesses of traveling internationally.
I'm glad you're
back in the country, and it would be lovely to consider you a fellow Canadian. I already do, landed or no. But it would be delightful if you were to take that next, I don't know, what do you say, step?
Yeah, Roxy did it. Roxy Peterson did it a couple of years ago. Did it 2 or 3 years ago. He became
a civilian,
and he's even got a far southerner accent than me. Of course, he's from the east end of London, right, Governor? So he's right like that. And now
London more south than you? I thought you said south. That's south of London. Is that not where north and south happens?
He's from the east end of London, Stratford way. I'm from, I'm actually from Hertfordshire originally. That's where I grew up. And that's only about sort of half an hour north of London. So I'm a northerner compared to Roxy Peters.
Oh, yeah. So
Yeah.
Same enough.
Anyway, he's a Canadian, so I think I should get on
he
it.
He is. That's true. I follow that that whole thing on the old Facebooks. Was that the last sip of the previews?
It was. I'm heading back south this time to the Big Shot, to the Billy Joel, and I'm going to try it now. You're saying it was a bit... Oh, hello. So different to smell.
It smelled very funny.
No, it doesn't. It smells... You know when you walk into a really old... like I've been into plenty in the last couple of weeks, toilets, public toilets in pubs, when 73 men have just peed in it in the 5 minutes you've been before.
I didn't want to say it out loud, but it does smell like a cat has just peed in my beer.
Right. It smells like stale urine. And that's not even in a good way. I'm going to try it now.
I know. And I don't want to tell you what I tasted. How is this possible? Cause I thought that was the bee's knees, and then we went to the Infinity Black IPA, and it I didn't think it was quite as good initially, but letting this Annapolis Brewing one stew for a minute, I think we've sadly, if you let it sit around too long, then it's a nice tall refreshing glass of cat urine right there.
Right. Ooh. That's how I like my urine.
Feline.
I guess you can't go back and change because you don't let your beer dregs sit for 30, 40 minutes in the bottom of a glass.
Russ, I'm learning. I certainly shouldn't.
They're both wonderful beers.
Mm.
Both of them.
Drink them immediately. Do not let them turn into cat pee.
If someone says, oh, by the way, we've got an IPA on, I'm not immediately going to say, what else you got? I'm going to say, is it a black IPA?
Is it a black IPA? And then they're going to say, what's that? And then you're going to leave the establishment entirely.
Yeah.
Say, point me at the local, at the closest craft brewery that isn't too gross.
I'm reserving judgment on. I'm totally on the fence now with Two Crows because the last two we've had have been really good, and I've seen another one that I'm so excited to try as well.
We
Two
had
Crows,
the triple, didn't we? Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah, I know.
Right. We got to try that. Anyway, yeah. So we're in talks with having some guests on the show, and you are back in the country, miraculously. Yeah. Thank you. Extra big thanks to Rebecca. I should have had her on the show last week as a thank you, but we'll get there. We'll have an IPA night in the future. We'll get there. But for now, you haven't.
I'm out.
Yeah, he said two black IPAs, and he almost forgot to leave beforehand. But thank you, of course, Ian, and thank. I'm not thanking Border Control. Screw those guys. Thank Rebecca for going to pick him up, and thank a couple of people for giving him the suggestion to go to the United States and coming back. So many ridiculous things going on there. But pop in Tuesdays, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Usually we're a bit late this week, but we're back to our usual 8 p.m. next week for live here on the Facebook page of Drink NS Dry. And then you can check out our page at drinkns.unsupervised.com. Beer. I'm trying to do this all through 2.7.1s, and I think we can nearly do it. Thanks to my co-host of Ian, and we'll see you in the future. And we should be talking to some more local Nova Scotia craft brewers, the head brewers of some places, and even some more special guests coming up in the next month or so. So tune in next time. And also catch our podcast anywhere you find podcast live at Apple Podcasty Things, Amazon Podcasty Things, Google Podcasty Things, and Spotify Podcasty Things. I've been Ross, and that's been Ian. How do I end these? I don't know. Good night.